Today's daf, Masechet Shabbat, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, on this Lag BaOmer Tov Shin Pei, is daf Samach Zayin. We're holding on the bottom of Samach Vav Omid Beis, Omer Vuna, last three words. So we're continuing on with the weird kind of ideas for various Rufuot, and that's what I want to discuss a little bit later when we get more of our people online over here. So the Ishta, we're talking, continuing to talk about what to do for a fever. Yesterday we spoke about for the type of fever that comes every day. How about for a fever that comes in a period of every 3 days? It hits you every 3 days. It's called an Ishta Tilta. So what you do over there is you bring together Shiva Silva Mishiva Dikla. You got these seven little branches from seven palm trees, and you have seven little splinters of wood. Those are tzivir, usually what you start a fire with, that are taken from seven roof beams. You take seven siche, which are basically the pegs that you use a place of nails when you're putting things together entirely out of wood, that are taken from seven different bridges, seven different ashes from seven different types of ovens. Bosch and Siemens counts as one, just remember that. And so does Maytag and GE nowadays. So if you need seven different types of ovens, you better know where they're coming from. You need to have seven different types of dirt that come from underneath seven different door hinges. Remember that the hinge used to go into the ground vertically rather than be attached to the wall horizontally. You need Sheva Kufri, Mishiva Arbe. That means seven different types of tar or waterproofing material from the hulls of seven different boats. And, we'll find that this is very common. Any good medication requires your Shiva Buni Kamuni. And Shiva Buni Kamuni either means seven handfuls of cumin or it means seven seeds of cumin. Rashi brings both possibilities. And hopefully you've got an old dog at home, because a young dog isn't going to like this. You could take out seven hairs from the beard of an old dog. I wouldn't try this at home usually. And now you tie all of these things up with a strand of hair, and you put it right around instead of your tie, you put it by the neck of your shirt. That should take care of it for sure. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, what would you do for Ishta Tmirata, where you've got a type of total body, maybe a type of malarial fever. So you've got to take a knife that is entirely made out of iron. You go to a place where you could find that same type of vardina. Vardina used to mean a rose thorn bush, but this is the thorn bush that Moshe Rabbeinu actually used, as Rashi says, the same type of sneh that was by Moshe. We'll see why we need that. And what you do is every day you're going to make a little notch in this bush, and you're going to talk about one of the psukim that was mentioned in the story of Moshe and the burning bush. So the first day, lichrok beipur, you make a little notch, and then you say the pasuk. Vayera malach Hashem elav belabat esh mitoch hasne, vayar v'nei hasne bo erba esh, v'hasne einenu ukal. So that's good, because that's the first issue of there being a fire, which is connected to your fever, but it's not doing any damage. And then on the second day, you come along and you make another little notch. And then you say what Moshe said. Vayomer Moshe, asura na ve'eret hamara eha gadol hazeh, madua lo yivar hasneh. So you're stressing the fact that nothing's happening to it. And then the third day you come back, you make another notch, and then you say, Vayar Hashem ki sar lirot, Vayikrov elov elokim mitoch hasneh, and so on. Because sar lirot is the lotion of it will go away. Omele Ravach, Breda Ravel Ravashi, that's the word. Those aren't the best psukim to say. The climax should be, Vayomer al tikrav halom. Stay away. Don't come here. So wouldn't that be what you would want to say to this fire? That ought to be the right pasuk to say. So actually, I would recommend doing it differently. So what you should do is the first day you say the Vayom Malach Hashem Elav, Vayomer Moshe, you mentioned both Lashonos of the Sar, of the Lo Yivar. The next day you say, Vayira Hashem Kisar Lirot, and then on the third day you say, Al Tikrav Halom. And then you go and you go, you bend all the way down to the ground. And when you cut this thorn bush, bend all the way down and cut it. And then you say like this, Hasne, Hasne. The reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared in the Sneh, as Chazal teaches, is not because the Sneh is so beautiful. It's because the Sneh is the lowest of things. It's because you're so low and so humble, so to speak. That's where the Shekhinah chooses to be megala itself. And the same way that the Eish that was meant to burn Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah took one look at them and ran away, so to speak, from them, so should the fever that's attacking me, and he mentions his mother's name, should run away from it, from him, and he will no longer be ill. Now, this is a big problem, this particular one, as opposed to all of the others. The reason that this one is a particular problem is because it's specifically prohibited to be maskir psukim on any type of refuah. You're not allowed to use the words of the Torah as a refuah. And because of this, it raises a lot of questions. Like, why are we being matir this? And so the way that the mafarshim are masbir is that this particular issue is clearly addressing your own sense of why it is that you became ill, perhaps. In other words, you're giving yourself musr by talking about the humbleness of the sneh and the way that you have to make yourself a baal tshuva by humbling yourself in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that type of thing. Now, I would like to take this advantage of this moment to get a little bit more into what is going on over here, and that we should close the brilliant first section of Shabbos, which is, and introduce the next section of Shabbos, in which we go through the ideas of Yediya and of the various Melachos of Shabbos and how we define Melachos Machsheves, to end that and introduce the next with nonsense, because all of this stuff strikes us as being a horrific, superstitious nonsense. And in the end, the Gemara is going to answer most of these things, according to most of the Mefarshim. I sent out a couple of Maimorim yesterday from various Rishonim and Achreinim, but I would like to explain what the Gemara is doing here and what in the world this has to do with anything. And as we're going to see, it's not just that it appears here in the Gemara. There are two whole prokim in the Tosefta that are dedicated to these kind of things, which never appears elsewhere, because of the question of Darkei Ha'emori, which was raised in our Mishnah. What things are mutter and what things are osir because they are superstitious? And all of these superstitious things are actually an Isser D'Oraisa because of Chukai Sa'akum. Some of them border on Avodah Zarah itself, as the Gemara will point out, mentioning the Shemais of Avodah Zarah. And we're going to see that that's like the theme here of this daf, to actually touch the dividing line between what is considered to be mutter and what is considered to be usser in terms of Darkei Ha'emori. Now, all of this seems to have absolutely nothing to do with Shabbos. So we saw that the beginning of the understanding of these things had to do with the nature of the way that Shabbos forces us into confronting the overall relationship of a human being, particularly at the moments of Bria, with the world around him. And so it's mechayev him to take responsibility for his neighborhood, for the world, for the animals, and it's an actual chiyev, the Laman Yanuach, as we saw. Those things made a great deal of sense, and they were very clear. Then we got into other aspects of intelligence and relationships and memory and consciousness and the impact of psychosomatic elements in which there's a relationship between the psychology, belief system of a person to the way in which his immune system functions and in the way in which he can be healed from various illnesses, which, as the Rambam pointed out already in his letter to the vizier that he was working for, is that 99% of issues are essentially psychosomatic and are meant to be cured by getting yourself into balance, which was the idea of Terutzi Sugya. But obviously, we're going to be talking about things that are really and truly cuckoo. And what's curious is that they're so cuckoo that one of the Rishonim, namely the Meiri, says that the reason that the Gemara was matir these things and isn't chayshish that people will come out and start doing Darkei Amori is because they're so obviously stupid that nobody would be tempted to believe that they have any meaning, and therefore they couldn't possibly go and be nichshal in Darkei Amori. But I mean, that just beggars the question. So then, so what is this all about? And why in the world would it be here in Shabbos? And I think there is something extremely sensitive that we need to learn about all of this. Let's take the Meiri's general approach, and let me link it for a moment to Abaya's constant referencing of Omra Li Aim. My mommy told me. Now, this isn't even his mommy. My nanny told me. Now, remember that this ties in very much to the modern Yiddish expression, a Bubba Maisa. A Bubba Maisa means my bubby told me. And if you want to talk about nonsense, you say in Yiddish, luz up the Bubba Maisa. Right? This whole thing is just a bunch of superstitious nonsense that my grandma used to tell me. Okay. So what is the point of a Bubba Maisa, Bichlal? Old wives tale. Very nice, Javi. Exactly, old wives tale. So what is the meaning of these kind of things, and why would they appear here? So I want to point out something that I think is very striking. It's not simply that it's strange that they would appear here. It's that they are actually almost the literal opposite of the concept of Shabbos, which is Meleches Machsheves, in which you understand the way in which what you are doing and the act that you are proceeding with, the impact that it has on the world around you, and what the implications and consequences of the act are. If any of those things are missing, then you would not be chayev on the malacha. So it could be a malacha she'ina tzricha legufa, and therefore the interrelationship is broken. It could be a mit'asek, in which you're not fully involved. It would be an eno miskaven, you had in mind to do something else for a different purpose, and so on and so forth. The exact opposite of the nature of a Meleches Machsheves is Darkei HaAmori, and essentially these types of pu'ulot, in which, as the Rishonim point out, the distinguishing line in the end between that which is mutter and osir, at least according to the Rambam and the Mor Nevuchim, and in Rashi, the way that he ends up the Pirush over here, is the question of whether there is any causality, mechanical causality on some level in which you are at least dealing with the same thing that you want to cause to happen. Anything less than that would be Darkei Amori. There's all kinds of machloksin about how far that would extend, because according to Rashi, any incantation would then be considered to be Darkei HaAmori, despite the fact that there are two incantations that the Gemara comes out are not Darkei HaAmori. So the question is, on what level are anecdotes Bubba Maisas that you are allowed to proceed with? Now, the fact that this is the direct contrast with Meleches Machsheves cannot be a coincidence, I believe. In other words, if the nature of Shabbos itself is built around the idea of Kiddush V'Havdalah, Kiddush V'Havdalah means that in order to have a Shabbos, I need to be able to distinguish between Shabbos and Chol, and what the differences would be. I believe that the same thing is true about the nature of the human interaction with the Bria. Shabbos, on the surface, demands a highly sophisticated scientific vision of the way in which we understand causality on a physical level, in order that it be a Meleches Machsheves. It means that it's necessary for us, because of the fact that the malachas are listed as they are, this is one of the earliest historical concepts of structural sets that is found anywhere in human history, in which we have 39 different sets. They need to be precisely defined in their impact and in the relationship between what I do and what comes out of them. And we're going to be getting into all of the different machlokas and its subsets and so on that have to do with the relationship of an av and a tolda, which is coming up very soon. This is extremely sophisticated type of thinking, which demands a deep relationship in your understanding. And really, as humanity becomes more and more mature, the search for the idea of what it is that we do, how does it actually impact the result, becomes more and more of what allows us to be fully human with a scientific understanding of what is happening in the Bria as we get closer and closer, literally, to Maisa Bereishis, which is what we're looking for, which is what Shabbos is all about. So that means that Shabbos, in its essence, pushes us towards getting closer to an understanding of the very Maisa Bereishis that it is made on. The need to distinguish between that and the other elements of poor, broken, idiotic humanity, in which all of us are so incredibly stupid and are capable of doing the most idiotic things and are capable of walking around for 99.9% of our lives completely unconscious of what it is that we're doing, just going through motions in which 2 seconds later you have to ask yourself, wait a minute, where did I put that thing? And now you're looking all over for the thing you were holding in your hand a moment before. This is the antithesis of the development of a humanity that is Shabbos-oriented. The sensitivity of the Gemara, and this is why it's so beautiful that it should come out on Lag BaOmer. Lag BaOmer is an insane time in which the absurdities of superstitious behaviors and the kind of nonsense that grown people will allow themselves to do, even to the point of endangering their lives, like happened over here last night, is so shocking that you question. So at what point do we ever, as Jeff wrote me yesterday, at what point do we ever evolve beyond the almost animal level of interrelationship that's completely the opposite of what the Torah seems to be demanding of us? And at that point, you need to ask yourself, how much really does the Torah insist is necessary for us to be human? So let's say we have a mitzvah of wearing tefillin, in which that mitzvah demands the at least, and it's a kal v'chomer mitzitz, shiyah al mitzchot tamid, that you can't be meisiach das. We spoke about this earlier, that because of this, there were generations and generations that did not put on tefillin. Knowing myself, I can't put on tefillin. I will be meisiach das. And hesach das is an actual mocker of tumah when you're dealing with dvarim of kedusha. And these are the ideas of Malian, the Kedesh and the Malis of Kedesh, that as a person gets closer and closer to the Mokam HaMikdash or to dealing with Kachim or to dealing with Shabbos in time, more and more is demanded of them of that awareness. Does the Torah have any place for a simple human being who lives off of Baba Mises? Because this is the way that almost all human beings live. And it's inevitable that the mitzvah satera, and this is what bothered Avram Avinu so much, is what is going to prevent my children, with all of the upbringing that I give them, from simply becoming superstitious, religious nuts. And this was ultimately his question about Ma'idaki Yirashena. The question of what we need to go through in order to learn human freedom, and what freedom means, and what choice means, the Yadoetida Kiger Yezarecha, does not mean that there is no place for the Echad HaMarbe and the Echad HaMamid, Ubevach Yechavin Liba L'Shamayim. The fact that somebody feels that he's at least buying into the fact that he needs to be human, he needs to achieve freedom, he needs to achieve tshuva, he needs one day to learn how to daven, he needs to do a mitzvah b'shlei Musa, even though he knows it's never happened. And like that old story of the Rebbe, Reb Zishel, who would go over to the Aron HaKodesh and would say, today is the day, Ribbono Shel Olam, today is the day that I'm going to do tshuva and I'm really going to be doing everything right. And every day he would say, but Zissel, that's what you said yesterday. True, but today it's for real. That means that there is, in fact, a tremendous level of gentle tolerance for the simple humanity in which a person lives with Baba Mises. And these Baba Mises are 99% of his religious beliefs. are Baba Mises. He has no real understanding of Maisa Bereshis, no real understanding of the Agodas of Chazal, no depth in his being able to make out what it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wants to us. And in the deepest sense, he has no understanding of his own life, of where it's going, of how he fits in to the nature of life and to the history of life, the development of a world which is meant to end up in Olam Haba. Nothing. He lives off of Baba Mises. And there's such a gentle sweetness in the Torah's acceptance and relationship of these Baba Mises that in nowhere is it better than in Masechet Shabbat to create that dividing line, which is the Havdolah between Kodesh V'Chol, the Havdolah between Meleches Machsheves and Darkei Ha'emori, than to define what things are at least close enough to what people generally will believe in terms of Omrali aim, even though they know that it makes no sense, but they believe there must be some underlying sense to it. And then that becomes mutter because it has nothing to do, at least in their belief system, with just superstition and so on. And what things are considered to be ipso facto misleading, destructive, and therefore usher. That's what these two parakim in the Tosefta come to define. And it's because of that that the Gemara makes an attempt to describe what type of things, and it's because of that we go through literally nutty differences. I need to know what to do with a fever, a one-day fever, a three-day fever. Who cares? And what about a six-day fever? And what? The point over here is that we are really dealing with pratim, because anything that we haven't identified as being acceptable, as the Gemara is going to show us at the end of today's daf, is by definition unacceptable. So if it hasn't been listed as something that has shown itself to be so much part of the human anecdotes about what works in life, you're not allowed to engage in it unless it makes sense. And you cannot throw yourself into a world of rumors and superstition without its being usher because of Darkei Ha'emori. And therefore, each one of these things and every one of the Toseftas that are brought, every Brisa in the Tosefta is essentially one tolerant aspect of what is acceptable in terms of the poor burning bush, which not because of its tremendous madrega was HaKadosh Baruch Hu mashur the Shekhinah on it, but because a human being who at least accepts that he's a human being and he knows how incredibly stupid, fallible, and mixed up, and his own psychology is completely confused. And when he thinks he's doing good, he's often doing bad. And he thinks he's doing bad, he's often doing good. And it takes him a lifetime to figure out his first baby steps before he's even able to view himself as a real human being. That's why the Shekhinah was shira on you and not on other things, because those who actually make up and believe the things that they make up, those are the problem people. And so Mamela, this particular last one of the one in which we're masked, the psukim, comes out at the end to be a musar vart, not a baba maisa, in which a person does things that make him feel very much how it is that he becomes ill in the first place. It's by being mentally ill that you become physically ill. Anyway, that's literally how the Mefarshim explained the heter over here to use those psukim of Moshe Rabbeinu. And note that what was it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded to? The fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was willing to look. Kisar lirot. Vayar Hashem kisar lirot. The very fact that he was not afraid to expose himself to a phenomena that he did not understand and wanted to understand it. Madua lo yivarasne. What kind of question is that? Why not just go say, wow, what a miraculous thing. I need to see this. What do you mean? I need to look at this phenomena. There's got to be a reason why this snare is not burning up. That's like a completely different way of understanding the entire relationship to the snare, right? So then in the end, when we go ahead and we cut it down and we say, listen, it may not make any sense to be a snare, but that's exactly why HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mashur the Shekhinah on that snare. So therefore, you should think about that for yourself as well. Anyway, I think it's at least a haschola to try to square the shittas of all the various rishonim with what's going on here in the Gemara, and to at least understand clearly why it would be the closing of the first section of Shabbos, which is today's daf, the end of that first inyan of hotzah, an awareness of space and time and the interrelationship that you have with things within it, why this would be the closing. Okay, now let's get back to the next case on Samach Zayin Omen Aleph. L'simta. So if you've got some kind of boil, le'mahachi, what you should say is this. Now, this is entirely incantation. Baz, bazia, mas, masya, kas, kasya, sharloi, vamarloi. You malachim that came from the land of stone, that were sent out, laso, shchina, even you're the guys that are supposed to be healing all of these horrible blisters. Bazach, bazich, baz, bazich. This is good for Lord of the Rings. Mas, masich, kamon, kamich. So these are all, as Rashi, they don't mean anything, but they have this general sense of, you know, break it up, cut it open, squish it down, and so on. Enich bech, enich bech. Now you talk to your blisters. Just stay the way you are. Stay where you are. Atrach bech, atrach bech. No more of you. Zarech, and may your children be like kolo tu pirda de lo para velo rav. You should be sterile like a mule and not grow on my skins. Kach lo tifre velo tirbe begufe de ploni bar plonis. And that way you will not grow on my skin either. Now, Dr. Waldman, I think you might want to try this out on some of your patients today and broaden your patient base and lose 99% of the others. But I'm sure a lot of people would love to come in for this type of treatment. That's true. Lekipa. So there's two pshatim of kippah. Rashi learns lekippah is actually somebody who's in trouble from he's been kofui al yedei shade. So his mind has been taken over by a demon. But it might also just mean lekippah, might mean a blister. So the incantation goes like this: cherev shlufa vekela netusha lo shmei yochav cholin machovim. So the sword has been unsheathed, and the slingshot is ready, but it's not named Yochav. Okay, that's a good one, so be careful not to bring Yochav into the house anyway, as these are bad, painful illnesses. And another one, Lishida. So if you got to get rid of a demon, Lemahaki. Havet tepakik tepakik havet. You should be stuffed up, and stuffed up should you be. You should be cursed, Lita. You should be busted. You should be put into cherem, Lita Tovaru Meshumat. You piece of filth, Bartit, Bartame, Bartina. You're the same as Shamgaz, Marigaz, and Istamai. How about for that really dangerous shade, the one that lives in the bathroom? So if you've been attacked by him, what you say is like this. On the head of a lion and on the nose of a lioness. That's where I found this Mr. Bar Sharika Panda. That's the name of that shade. I threw him down on a field of leeks and I busted him with the jawbone of a donkey. Okay. That's a good one. Okay. And anyway, moving on. B'nai Melachim are allowed to go out with Zagim. And this is true as it says, Kol Adam, Ela Shedibru Behoveh. Then that would mean that even though you would think that there would be a chashash for like a regular guy to go out wearing bells, I mean, you know, they could insult him. Say, boy, you sure think a lot of yourself walking out the way royalty walks out, and maybe he would take it out, or maybe he would take it off to show his friends. So how come it's mutter for anybody? I mean, aren't these practical issues? Amar Rabbi Oshaya. Rabbi Shimoni, it's going on Libet Rabbi Shimon, who says, Kol Yisrael b'nei melachim, that they are considered to be b'nei melachim. We'll see, we're going to talk about later, what you're allowed to use as a derech of refuah. So it says over there that the derech of melachim was to use this very expensive rose water if they have a skin ailment. And Rabbi Shimon is moderate for anyone, even though for other people who are using it, it would be obvious they wouldn't use this every day. It should be usur because you're doing it as a refuah. Nonetheless, Rabbi Shimon says, all B'nai Yisrael are innately royalty. And this is a beautiful way of ending this whole crazy stuff, right? So all B'nai Yisrael are essentially royalty. And therefore, to say that, well, if this guy, this poor guy is using this rose water, it's got to be for a refuah, maybe it's just that for a moment he grew into his own identity. And it's the same thing, Aliba to Rabbi Shimon, is true over here. Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. This is exactly as Moshe Andel just pointed out. It's Rabbi Shimon who's going to be the one that says, Kol Yisrael B'nei Malachi. And that because of that, the same thing is true over here. People will sit there and say, boy, you think a lot of yourself. And so you would think maybe he would take it off. No, he does think a lot of himself. Why wouldn't I think a lot of myself? I am B'nei Malachi. And as far as my being so cheap as to take them off and to show my friends, that's not what royalty does. Rava says, well, now, I mean, come on, that's all nice theoretically, but I mean, practically speaking, why wouldn't we be choshesh? Now, it's got to be talking about over here that they are arig b'ksuto. They're actually woven into the beged. And that everybody is made of, and not only Rabbi Shimon, but even the Chachamim, because there's no way that he's going to take apart his coat in order to remove these bells. Already, we're ready for our Kapitan to close the Mishnah of our Perek. Come, sir, come, sir.
After that resounding rendition of the Ghostbusters, anyway,
Yotzin, you're allowed to walk out on Shabbos with the egg of a chargol. A chargol is a type of locust, and that was used for a type of refuah, as we'll see. Ubishen shu. Oh, by the way, I wanted to tell you, you know, we look at these things, I forgot to mention yesterday, the Mishnah Berura, we look at these things as being like from, you know, maybe the Middle Ages, right? The Mishnah Berura describes what these things are called in Yiddish because they use all of this type of stuff, and the Evan HaTekuma, it was commonly used in his generation. Now, we're talking about just within the lifetime of some of the people here. I mean, it's ridiculous. This is not Middle Ages stuff, right? So these are things that still have names and illnesses that still are related to his illnesses. So anyway, so people would wear a locust egg or a tooth from a fox, and this is close to Richie's heart, which he, of course, wants to use this for his insomnia problems, as we'll see. Richie, I'd advise you to be careful when walking out from this point on, because lots of people might want the tooth of a fox. And a masmer min hatzaluv. This was commonly believed to be a big refuah, to take the nail that held together the gallows on which somebody was hung, and that is used, as we'll see, for a refuah as well. And you can wear all of this mishum refuah because, as we said, the way in which you extend the way that you live in the world, that's your clothing. That's the extended phenotype. Divrei Rabbi Meir. The Chachamim say, you're crazy. You can't do this anytime. Forget about Shabbos. This is superstition. And you're not allowed to do this mishum darkeya emori because it is all included in Bechukoteihem lo teilechu, and therefore you're not allowed to at any time. What is the point of all of these things? Well, a beitzata chargol is used for ear infections. A shein shel shu'al, a fox's tooth, is used for any type of sleep problem. They should put this into those, you know, modern rooms where they deal with sleep disorders and they measure your sleep. Maybe you should add this to the Apple Watch function to have a built-in of Shein Shual, because it deals with all types of sleep disorder. If you've got the tooth of a live fox, so then that is used for people who keep falling asleep in the middle of shear. It wakes them up. And if it comes from a dead fox, now, oh boy, better watch out there. That is used for somebody who's got insomnia and he never can fall asleep. What do you do with that? That is used to actually take away a swelling that was caused by a metallic wound. And you can do all this mishum refuah, says Rabbi Meir, whereas the Chachamim say it's osir mishum darkei amori. Abaye v'rava darmer tavayo, look, if the thing actually works as a refuah, then it does not have any iser of darkei ha'amori. It's only where something has no meaning at all. And then you're doing it only because people in general do it, and it doesn't make any sense, and it doesn't have any, it doesn't fit into any system of thought. This is the way many Rishonim learn. Those things are usser, because then it looks like you're going along with it, because this is what people do. You can't go along with what people do, because people do the most horrible things in terms of their Avodah Zarah beliefs and superstitions. So because of this, these things are proven to have therapeutic meaning, and therefore it's not called Darkei Hamori. Whether it's true that they have or it's not true is irrelevant. It's something that people believe is true because of its refuah, and not because they say, okay, we don't know how these things work, but there's things that are beyond our ken, but it has something to do with something. Okay, then it's not superstition. It just may be a silly structure that you've made, but it's not something that relates to the Darkei Hamori. Therefore, we believe that Rebbe Meir is correct. So what, you're saying that if it doesn't have anything that makes sense in terms of refuah, then it is considered to be Darkei Hamori? So let me ask you something. How could it be that we have a halacha that if you've got a tree that is dropping its fruit early, what you're supposed to do is soak rope. You cover it with a sikra, which is that red dye that you use in Meisr, and you put heavy stones on its branches. Now, come on, you're telling me that's not superstitious? I mean, I could justify putting heavy stones on its branches, because I could say, look, I don't know how it works, but obviously if the tree is dropping the fruit early, it seems to have an overactive metabolism, and what we need to do is we need to take away some of the strength of the tree. So maybe by hanging stones on it, it's going to use some of its extra energy to hold up the stone. I don't know, but at least it makes some kind of crazy sense. It's not just stupid. So maybe that's not superstitious, and that would be kihecha delikcho shchele. But covering it with paint? That's ridiculous. My refuah ka'avi, how could that possibly help? Says the Gemara, it doesn't help for refuah. It helps to identify itself. Kihecha delechaze incha. We want people to look at your tree and to say, oh my God, this poor tree is having trouble. We should pray for it. Where do we learn this from? From the Din of Tzaras. Because it says, v'tamei tamei yikra. The mitzvah is supposed to say to people, I am tamei. What does that mean? Tzorech lo dio tzaro l'rabim. He has to tell everyone of the terrible things that have happened to him. And that way, rabim yivakshu alav rachamim, people will pray for him. The Rambam in the Maror Nevuchim uses this Gemara as showing the meaning of Darkei Hamori, because he says, look, if Gemara holds that if you cannot justify with some type of causal justification, then it's usur with Darkei Hamori. And you see that if the Gemara could not have figured out that there might be some type of physical impact of putting a stone on the branch, it would have been usur. And if there wasn't some type of real meaning of identifying the tree with the sikra, it would have been usur. That's the bottom line, says the Rambam. If you cannot give it some type of at least quasi-scientific meaning, you're not allowed to do it. Omer Ravina, Keman Talina Kufsi Bedikla. Why nowadays do we put up a bunch of dates on a tree that's losing its fruit, it's dropping fruit? Ki Haitana. People see it and they pray for it. Tani Tana Beperek Amorai Kameh the Rebbe Chiya Bar Avin, once a Tana of the Brises that dealt with all of these Yisurim, which Rashi brings us in the Tosefta. Rashi, it's a Perek, but it's more than a Perek. And he was saying in front of Reb Avin, he was saying over all of the Darkei Hamori, Reb Avin said to him, listen here, I want you to make sure that there's no mistake, because I've heard some people say, it's very interesting, Reb Yudah HaChosid actually had a girsa in the Brita that apparently was against what Reb Chiya Bar Avin was saying, and apparently therefore had a difference in the Gemara. But it's crazy. Anyway, Omar Leh, that Reb Chiya Bar Avin was telling him, you should know that every single one of those brises says it's usur mishum darkei hamori. None of them are brought there like in our Gemara where it says that certain things are mutter. So make sure when you say over the Brita, kulu itpu mishum darkei hamori, there are only two things that are mutter in all of the things that are mentioned, which I'm about to tell you, and they have to do with getting a bone stuck in your throat. Mishyeshlo etzim bigrono. If you have a bone from an animal as opposed to a fish in the Gemara, you bring another bone from the same thing that you're eating. Meniach le'al katkado, you put that bone on the forehead of the person who's choking, and you say an incantation. You say, chad, chad, nachit, bala. Bala, nachit, chad, chad. Go down one by one, down you go. To do that is not asur mishum darkei amori, it works. And that, by the way, even the Maharil brings that the Barnea's got the incantation over there listed on a kamiya. Put it right up against the camera so we can see it better. Okay, very cute. All right, so bones in the throat is Barnea's neighborhood, as we can now see. And in this ancient copy taken undoubtedly from underneath the ruins of the forum, he found this in his last trip, and this is Barnea neighborhood, Chad Chad. Now, this is the one thing that the Maharil, who says that there's a cherem, actually, on anybody who tries to use any of these crazy remedies, so they're put into cherem by a bezdin from a long time ago. The only thing that was allowed was this one, this Chad Chad, and that's why it was found under the forum, obviously, by Barnea on his last archaeological dig in the neighborhood.
My cousin Avraham Levy Cohen was choking, and my cousin from Eretz Yisrael, from Bnei Brak, Tzvika Sheinfeld, simply walked over, said this, and it came right out. I was a kid, so it made a very powerful impression on me.
But the question is, did he have another bone? If he didn't have another bone, you can't just say it. So obviously, the experiment was just an accident. There you go. Anecdotal evidence again. Okay. Continues. And the one other thing that was mutter is for a fish bone. If you got a fish bone in your throat, le'idra le'mahochi. Nin atzta kamachat, you got in there like a needle. Nin alta katris, you're stuck in there like a tris that closes a window, a shutter. Shia, shia, down you go, down you go. That is mutter. Some things are worse than just darkei amori. Somebody who talks about God, God is an actual name of an avodah zorah, so that's worse than just darkei amori. So let's say somebody says, God gedi usanuk lo, a person who says, may my luck, the God was the belief that certain constellations of stars would be give him luck. So may my luck give me luck. And never get tired. V'sanuk lo. Not ashki and not bushki. Not in the daytime, not in the nighttime. That's darkei amori. Says Rabbi Yehuda, that's not darkei amori. God is the name of avodah zorah. God einu ela loshon avodah zorah. Shenamar ha'orchim legad shulchan. People that spread out their table for the sake of God. That is an idol. And therefore you're not even allowed to say that. It's much worse than just darkei amori. You're going to be over on maskir, the shemus of Elohim Acherim. Another thing that's usur is for a husband and wife to change names at night, sort of protect themselves from the scary monsters under the bed. So hu bishma v'hu hi bishmo, that is considered to be darkei hamori. If somebody says, dunu dani, may my barrels of wine be strong, that has a din of darkei hamori. It says Rabbi Yehuda, no, that's worse than darkei hamori because dan is the name of Avodah Zorah. It says, Hanishbaim ba'ashmat shomron va'omru chei Elohecha dan, by the life of your God, dan. So dan is as bad as God is. Ha'omer la'orev tzrach, if you say to a blackbird, croak, or you say to a female raven, urvata, shrieki, go ahead, shriek all you want, but turn your tail to me to give me good luck. This was because the raven was always a sign of bringing bad luck. That's darkei amori. If somebody said, shech that rooster, because it cried out orvit. There's two ways of learning this, arvit or orvit. Arvit means it was too late in the day for it to be crowing. And Orvit means, that didn't sound like no rooster. That is obviously a rooster with a devil in it because it sounded like a raven. Get rid of it fast. Or Tarnegolet, it's shech that chicken. It sounded like a rooster. Shekara Gavrit, these ideas of transgender roosters was a long problem many years ago. Yeshbo Mishum Darkei HaMori, that is also considered to be awesome. Eshteve otir. I will drink and leave over some wine. That was an incantation that was said on wine to make the wine better. Yesh bo mishum darkei amori. If somebody takes the eggshells of the newly hatched chicks and glues them to the wall as a sign of good luck for the chicks, yesh bo mishum darkei amori. Hamegis bifnei afrochim. If you stir something in front of new chicks, Yesh bo mishum darkei amori. Hamiraketet, they're people that will dance before their chicks. We got these Indian dances to make sure that those chicks make it. Yesh bo mishum darkei amori. And if you count 71 birds on the wall, 71 birds on the wall, one of those birds, well, it takes a long time, so we'll skip it for the Daf Yomi. But anyway, if you say that one, the Shimon v'Echad, so that makes them not die. That's also Yesh bo mishum darkei amori. Now, if you ever wanted to know how to make a really sharp kutach or salad dressing, what you need to do is you do the kutach dance in front of it. Woo-hoo-hoo. So a woman who dances to the kutach, or there's also the only good way to cook lentils is to make sure nobody is shh-talking, because you're going to be very quiet in the room when you put the lentils in the pot. Or the way to cook beans is you shout at them. So mitzavachat legrisin, all of these things are considered to be osur mishum darkei amori. Then there's always the woman who decides to urinate in front of her crock pot. That way it cooks fast. I don't think you want to drink that stuff. Yesh bo mishum darkei amori. And however, what looks to you like the weird minhag of putting in like a branch of a type of berry tree, or little pieces of glass into the bottom of the pot to make the food cook quickly. Actually, that works because what it does is it spreads the heat so that it cooks faster. The Chachamim say, it's all very nice. It's not darkei amori. You're pretty stupid for putting glass in your cholent pot. So they answer that for obvious reasons. And then there's another thing that's something like that, but is also mutter because it works, and it works physically. You're allowed to take a handful of salt and put it into a lamp because what it does is it's ta'ir v'tadlik, it helps the oil, it thins the oil out, which allows it to be drawn easier up into the up the petila. And you are also allowed to put either mud or you put a piece of dirt underneath a ner because that cools it. And by cooling it, it burns more slowly. So that's fine. It looks superstitious, but it actually has a scientific basis. Omer of Zutra. Haiman de michase shraga de mishka. People who cover up an oil lamp, and that way they overheat it and it burns too fast. Or they uncover a kerosene lamp, which causes like it to burst into flame. You're being over, not mishum darkei amori, you're being over mishum baltashkes, because you're wasting fuel. And when you toast the poor kids that you're getting drunk in the yeshiva, which they used to say, Chamra v'chaye lefum rabbonan, Chamra v'chaye, chaye v'chamra si Rabbi Akiva, ein bo mishum darkei amori, that's just meant as a brocha, come on. And actually, Rabbi Akiva once made a party for his son, whatever the maisa was, and on every single cup that he brought out to the party, he would say, Chamra v'chaye lefum rabbonan, and chaye v'chamra lefum rabbonan lefum tamidehon. And because of this, we actually are matirs brought la'alocha, saying l'chaim, because even though that's based on the Tanchuma, in which that's a response to savrai, which is, do you think? And then people answer l'chaim. But when it became a toast, it was a question whether it's mutter or whether that's a goyisha minhag. So would it be mutter? So they bring a raya from Rabbi Akiva that, in fact, such a thing is not usher because it boils down to Rabbi Akiva's saying l'chaim. Hadran alar bama isha, and the first part of Shabbos, which I think we, Baruch Hashem, got some kind of grasp of the underlying concepts on. And we have Richie to tell us. And so tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, we will begin the Klal Gadol Amru B'Shabbat. And these are the different ways in which the general Isser of Shabbat links to the Chiyuvim on the particular Malachas. As obviously there are different issues when it comes to Shabbos. There's the knowledge of Shabbos as a whole. The Gemara is going to question it. What do you mean as a whole? Suppose you don't know any Malachas or us, or what would be the meaning of Shabbos as a whole? And as we mentioned today, Kiddush V'Havdolah, as we'll see. But then the other way of remembering Shabbos is by knowing each one of the Malachas. There are differences, Halacha L'maisa, in terms of what you forget about Shabbos will be mechayev you different chataot, depending on the circumstances, and we'll have all that fun tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem. Have a happy Lag BaOmer, and may we grow to be at least semi-human some of the time. If not, we can always go back to Barnea's neighborhood. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Kol tov, everybody.